I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. We have scriptures this morning. It's from 1 Peter, chapter 1. I'll turn there. You can as well. The resurrection account has a person, I'm sure you recognize the name, Joseph of Arimathea. What was he kind of mentioned for? Anybody know? Yeah. So Joseph of Arimathea, along with Nicodemus, took Jesus' body off the cross. And the scripture tells us that Joseph laid him in his own tomb that he had hewn out of solid rock. And I can only imagine a conversation between Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea saying, "Hey, Joe, wait a minute. Haven't I seen you working on this tomb? Isn't this your tomb? Haven't I seen you working on this forever?" Seems like forever to and they didn't have a Milwaukee, you know, jackhammer. So he's carving that tomb for himself out of solid rock. "And are you sure you want to do this?" And Joseph said, "Well, he's only going to use it for the weekend." So, okay, 1 Peter chapter 1, and starting at 17, going down to 25. "Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed, but from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers." But, okay, I'm sorry, let's clean up that sentence a little bit. "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of this life handed down from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have been purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love for one another deeply from the heart." And our gospel lesson is from the book of John, chapter 21, and we're going to carry it down one more verse. John chapter 21, starting at 15, then to 23. I'd love to hear those pages going. "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said, 'you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.' Again, Jesus said, 'Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?' He answered, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Take care of my sheep.' The third time he said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, 'Do you love me?' He said, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go.' Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, 'Follow me.' Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, 'Lord, who's going to betray you?' When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I wanted him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die, but Jesus did not say he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This ends the gospel.
I'd like to invite kids to come down. You can leave it in here. Sorry. Make room, I guess. Squeeze together a little bit. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, going to draw for you today. And so I needed a whiteboard that I found laying around here. And I'll hold it up or lean it again. No, I won't. I have a portable easel I always keep handy. And he's really useful, Brian. I need you to be, you're my easel. And I couldn't get an easel high enough. So I thought, there's something really interesting in the text and sermon today. And it talks about several things, okay? One of them is that, well, come on, work. It's not going to work. Let me try a different color. Oh, permanent marker, that'll work. Here's you. That's a Y. And me. That's us guys. Can you remember that?
Yes.
Good. And here we are. There we go. You're much skinnier. That's me mostly there. So here's you and me. And here's your heart. Now, I got to teach you something really important. Because if you don't get this, it ruins both the sermon and possibly your whole life. Over here, we have Jesus. Okay? I'll put a head over here, and I'll make a little halo around it. And here's here. Now, I want to show you something about my real life. I want you to pretend, it's really hard, I know, that I did something wrong this week. I committed one sin. I said, "Ooh, you're ugly." Sometimes the easels you get just aren't quality easels. Now I have to erase my sin. There's my one sin. Ready? I want you to pretend you're God. I want to show you Jesus' heart. How many sins are in there? Zero. Jesus said, unless you're like me, you can't come into heaven. Unless your heart looks like my heart, you're going to go to hell. Now let me ask a question. You pretend for a moment, don't talk, gotta think. You pretend for a moment you're God. And it's judgment day. And that's what my heart looks like. Where am I going to go, God? Let me hear it. Where are you going
to
send me?
Heaven.
Nope.
Hell.
Hell. Why? Because I have a? How many? What if I had, here's really what my heart looks like. Did that make it easier? I bet your hearts look a little bit like that too. More than that. That's honest. That's good. Not, we don't want to brag about it, but that's good to be honest. My heart's more than that too. So we'll put it all in there. Here's what you need to learn about the sermon today. Okay? Judgment Day takes only this much time. Ready? Blink your eyes. Blink. That's it. Judgment Day's over. When I was your age, I used to picture this long line. Like you'd have to get in this line and you'd be waiting there forever. And then they would go, oh, you did a nice thing the other day. And then, oh, but you didn't do a nice thing on Tuesday. And then you were bad on Wednesday again, but you were nice by Thursday. And then you gave your mother that really nice picture or that card that you made. But then you talked back to her. And I always thought that it was going to take a long time. That doesn't take a long time. Here's what I want you to learn today, more than anything else. If I have one sin in my life, where am I going? So what do I need to do with my sins? I need to get them all paid for, all of them out, yes. And so the only one that can do that is Jesus for me. Now I want to show you what Jesus did for me. I'm going to put the cross behind him a little bit. So there's a cross, so you understand how he did that. Okay. But Jesus took my heart. You're going to have to use your imagination a little. He took all of this into his heart. Now, whose heart is that really? My heart. What's the punishment for that? Where should I go? What did he have to do? Die on the? You understand what he did for us? Now, watch. Because he did that for me, we use the word, my sins have been not only forgiven, yes, but have been washed away. Now, that's what Jesus has done for me. Am I perfect? Who took away my sins? It's judgment day. You be God again. That's what my heart looks like. Because why? Jesus paid the price and took all my sins away. So it looks like, you judge me now, heaven or hell? Because all of my sins have been washed away. Can you remember that? Good. I want you to remember that. And what you do is you say, Jesus, I am a sinner. I want you to wash my sins away because I want to be with you forever in heaven. And Jesus said, I will. And he went to the cross back here and he died on that cross so that even I could go to heaven, even though my sins are so many, I can't even count them. That's just in 1 week. But I've learned something really important. Do you remember the last song? It is Christ in me that washes away all of my sins. Can you remember that? That's what the sermon's all about today. Can you remember that too? Make sure you can explain that or draw that for your mom and dad. So if you ever have a discussion about the end of the world, just go like this. Mom, you want to know how fast the end of the world is going to come? Ready? It's over. What did I do? Blinked. Ready? He's coming. It's over. And where are we going? Heaven or hell? All depends what's in our? In our heart. Yes, as long as Jesus has taken all of our sins away. Can you remember that? Wonderful. Thank you. You're a good man. I don't care what everyone else says. No, you can just put it behind. Oh, yeah, sure. Put it in my office. Oh, thank you for that, too. Here, wait. Now give us some candy. Well, you guys remind me of Peter. Here we go. Wait. Ladies first. Don't get in the ladies' way. Don't get, wait. You've got to make him wait. He's got to wait till the ladies are done.
Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome, honey. I like these verses. You're welcome. Thank you for saying that. One of my favorite verses, it sounds strange, but I'm a little strange. All men are like grass. All their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers. The flowers fall. What are you going to brag about? How long would it take for the world to forget you were even here? How many of you knew my mother personally? Yeah, a few of you. The rest of you, she's already gone. You know why I like this verse? It's a good verse for pastors to think about. You got nothing, Bruce. You got nothing. You're wind. You're a dried piece of leaf. How many of you remember the dandelions of last summer? You're going to see them again soon. You've all seen what happens to grass. You've seen what happens in the fields. You understand. I love this because it's so blunt, hardcore, honest, and in your face. Where are you going to squirm on this verse? You got nothing. You're about as precious as a blade of grass that is cut off and disintegrates and blows away to who knows where, or gets stepped on or turned into a bird's nest or whatever is going to happen, and nobody remembers you. There are kids today who don't even know who Hitler is. Can you believe that? Pol Pot, Stalin, Lenin, murderous, horrible individuals. And the kids go, who? Was he a movie star? And you go, is it really possible that they actually, and a culture can actually, and people can actually forget these unbelievably wicked people who killed millions and destroyed large portions of the world in the name of conquest and other things like that? And there are people alive today that know nothing about them. The answer is yes. That's why sometimes stupid people, wicked people, are looking, what, for their 15 minutes of fame? I will go kill somebody or do some wicked deed, and then I'll be in the media, and they'll all remember my name. And you go, that's who I usually thought this verse was written to. That's why I said, that's my verse. I like it when God tells me the truth. You got nothing, Bruce. You're a blade of grass. But then the verse doesn't quite end, and I don't want to quit where I quit. It goes on to say this. But the word of the Lord stands forever. If a pastor ever forgets that, he needs to get out of the pulpit. If he ever thinks it's about him, he needs to get out of the pulpit. And if you think you're going to make it about a pastor, you need to figure out a different place to be and get your heart straightened out, because that's not God's call upon your life. The word of the Lord remains forever, and that literally means the word of the Lord will remain forever, whether you know it or you don't know it. Whether the world acknowledges it or not, it will go on, and everything that was said in that word will prove itself to be true. And so that's the challenge I want to pose to you today. I want us to learn from the life of Peter, that impetuous, whatever you want to call him, individual he was. Here in this particular text I had him read to you was Peter's denial of Christ and then what we call the reestablishment of Peter. Peter, do you love me? Three times. Do you love me? Why would he ask that? He's checking Peter's heart. Are you thinking you can put it together, Peter, without me? You denied me three times. Are you sure you want what I can give to your heart? What I can mean in your life? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. And he answered three times, once for each of Peter's denials. And I love that text as it goes on, because Peter gets done being reestablished by God, God demonstrating a flow of mercy for a wretched sinner like Peter, who loved Jesus, had his heart cleansed, but had to be reassured that Jesus still was his Lord and Savior. And as soon as Peter is reassured of that, what does he do?
well, what about John? What's going to happen to him? I mean, like, Lord, what? How come I may suffer and I may die, but what's going to happen to John? I want to know because I deserve to know. And he starts again with his impetuous, foolish mouth, and he starts wanting to put those marks down in his foolish heart all over again. And Jesus says, what is that to you, Peter? If I want John to live right till I come again, or I want to take him tomorrow, what is that to you? You come follow me. You see, the message of God doesn't change. You're never going to find, I gave my life to Jesus. You won't find it in the Bible. If you pray this prayer, you're suddenly a Christian. It's not in the Bible. You, come follow me. Foxes have holes. Birds have nests. I got nothing. Come follow me. Why would we? Do you understand the significance of what's going on in terms of Peter and this example? What I love about this text and the one I picked for you, the second text comes out of the first letter of Peter some 30 years later, give or take. This is not the same man that denied Christ. This is not even the same man that was restored by Jesus. This is Peter, the man he grew into. This is Peter recognizing the power of what God is doing in his life. And that's part of the lessons that need to be learned and understood. And so you and I, try to put this all together if you can, because I want you to look at this verse now that we're looking at in 1 Peter. It says, since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially. Now, I could have shown you what it's like for in the same heart illustration of works. If you don't love God and there's no relationship with God, you absolutely cannot please Him. Scripture says, there's nothing good that you're doing for the Lord. People at funerals like to go, oh, she was this and he was that. And oh, God's got to love her and got to love him. And I go, shut up. You're talking about dust in the wind. Well, not to me, of course. And maybe not to you because you valued them. But God whispers and says, they're dust in the wind. But what word they preached, what they lived, how they carried out the message of the word of God, that means everything and it lasts forever. Excuse me. Forgot to put my cough drop in. Apologize for that. But now you've got a God who judges impartially. You know, it's also neat. The thief on the cross went to heaven. You know what his heart looked like? Just like mine. Today you'll be with me in paradise. You want to know what his heart looked like when he stood at the door of heaven? It was washed clean. And you want to know what work he had done? Because he couldn't help anybody. He never fed anybody poor. He never shared his clothes with anyone. He did absolutely no works for Jesus but one. Lord, recognition of who is hanging next to him. Remember me when you go into the kingdom. Remember me when you go into the kingdom. There was one mark under good works, and God said, you're coming to heaven. You see, it's not a quantity thing. The judgment, of course, is based upon whether they've been forgiven or not. And then, if I so much as look at you and with sincerity in my heart say, God love you, God bless your day, God strengthen you today, Lord have mercy on you, do you know the gospel, do you know Jesus, whatever I want to come up with as a good deed or whatever you want to measure it against, God says, you give one little kid a drink of water, I'll call that a good work. You think you got to build a church or you got to, you know, stand the world on end. And God says, no. Parents, listen to this. You get up in the middle of the night for a kid that's whining and crying, and you go in there and they go, what do you want? I need a drink of water. God whispers to you, well done, good and faithful servant. You have to start thinking like God thinks and seeing what God sees when he looks at you. You're taking care of a sick relative or someone that's hurting, and you're spending 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, 2 hours with them. God whispers, well done. But nobody knows. Nobody knows how long I've been sitting here. Nobody knows how difficult it is to talk to you. Nobody knows there's nothing else happening here. God says, I do. I do. And I judge impartially. You can't bribe me. Oh, Lord, I'll be so good if you just answer my prayer. Give me a new bike and I'll be good forever. Of course, it gets a little more expensive as you get older. Give me that new motorhome. Amen, you know. And you go, are you capable of that? Yes. And God whispered, this is so powerful. Peter goes, he judges impartially. Peter not only is speaking this verse, it is right from this man's heart, spirit, and life. He's understand, I serve a God who cannot be bribed, and I have been bought, the wretched sinner I am, not with gold or silver, because that perishes. I have instead been bought by the precious blood of my Lord Jesus Christ, the blood I tried to deny, the blood I thought I would never deny, the foolishness I lived, and even as God restored me, I still went down the path of being foolish and stupid again. And now he's coming into this part and he's writing words out into your heart and my heart where he begins to say, are you getting this? Do you understand? God is not going to be bribed. You can't make him love you more than he already loves you. You can't make him forgive you more than he already has forgiven you. All of my sins have been washed away. That's why when the blameless Lamb of God takes my sins upon him and pays the price for it in full, my heart is washed clean. That's why he says, call me Father, our Father who art in heaven. Why can I say that? Because my heart has been washed clean. Now, I know I'm a sinner. I know I accumulated more dark marks in my heart over the week. You know that. But I also know the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me from all of my sins. And because of that, I can actually stand or minister or live out the day, look up into the sky and say, thank you, Jesus, for the next breath, the next moment. Thank you, Jesus, that for a sinner like I, you have now claimed me as your own and you call me your child. And so into this now we go. Remember, it says this, you sometimes used to follow the empty ways of life handed down to you by your forefathers. There are things you do because mom said it. There are things you think because dad said it. There are things your kids think that you never said, but they thought you said. And later on, they'll blame you. And if you live long enough, they may actually say, thank you for being a good dad or a mom. But you got to understand, people are people. And so at this point, there are so many useless things handed down for you. You know, this idea that you can win your salvation, this idea you can make God love you, this idea that somehow you can bribe him with more sincere faith, and you're really trying now, like God can't see your heart? Like you don't realize you got a heart problem, and the only one that can cure it or heal it or restore it is the Holy Spirit, and you keep going back to Jesus, and you go, Jesus, you got to take my heart. It's so inconsistent. It's so faulty. I cry when I shouldn't cry. I whine and I pout and I shout and I scream. I yell, Lord, I am a sinner. And unless you cleanse this heart, I have no chance at all of being the kind of man you want me to be. And so the verse goes on. And remember, Peter is writing this. Holy Spirit's inspiring it. But Peter is writing this and it says this. But with the precious blood of Christ. You know, there are actually some churches that don't like that word blood. Why would you change the word of God? You want to know how bad my one sin is? The kids figured it out. They played God for a minute. Kids, where were you going to send me for my one sin? Shout it out. Hell! That's serious stuff. What did it take? A life in exchange for my life. None of you could pay the price for my sins. Only Christ could take my wretch, my sin, my inconsistency, and die for me and give me a heart that I could never, ever deserve, but I long for and desire with every breath I take. Forgive me, O Lord, and show mercy to me. That's why it must break his heart when the first thing you ask when you got the flat tire or a bad experience in your life, what have I done, God? Like somehow he has forgotten that you're his child. He's forgotten that he's covered your sins with his blood. And you and I maybe have to ask the question, do you really belong to him? I don't like to create that for you too often, but it is the question of, do you really follow him? Because many times I'm like Peter. Well, what about John? How's his life going to turn out? I need to know that. Peter, I just forgave you and reminded you you belong to me and that heaven is your gift and that I'm your Savior. And what do you want to know? You want to know the future about someone else so you can either gloat over it or feel good or feel bad or something. Peter, knock it off. So Peter here is going, the foolish things handed down to you, passed on to you from your forefathers. The things, right, Peter and others' families have whispered, you know, you make pretty good money, but you don't make as much as your brother does. You're doing pretty good, but your sister is much holier than you are. Or you just put those own thoughts into your own head. Thank God I'm not like my sister because, and I go, how do we get trapped like that? And here God comes right into the middle, speaking the very words of denial, doubt, you know, false claims, foolishness, ignorance, pouring out of the mouth of Peter. You know, I'll never do that. I'll never do that. I'm just too good. I'm just too good. And Jesus restoring him, and still Peter has to hear these words, and he still gives him credit. Goes, but I want you to understand that that lamb without spot or defect, all of the sins washed away, he gives that to me. Without spot, little sin, spot, defect, big sin, whatever you want to come up with, there is nothing there. And he goes on from that point and he says, he chose you before the creation of the world. You're not an accident. Can you imagine a parent looking at a kid and saying, you're an accident? We didn't quite expect you, and having to live under that condemning kind of phrasing. How wicked, how demonic at its core. You go, you're definitely not an accident, for before the creation of the world, I knew how you were going to get started. I knew from the moment of your conception to the moment you draw your last breath to the moment you stand before the throne, I have chosen you. I have called you by name. You're mine. And he goes in and he's explaining that. He said, since the creation of the world, you've been mine. And he goes on and says, but all these things have been revealed to you in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified so that your faith and hope are in God. Bruce, it doesn't matter what you've done, good or evil. In one sense, now I want to be very careful how I say this, because God doesn't appreciate the evil I do. And while he died for my sins, I don't want to keep accumulating them unnecessarily. But the truth is, as he points out, that before the creation of the world, you have purified yourself in the blood of Jesus Christ, who called you by name and said, you are mine. And you stand before the Lord listening to this text and you begin to understand how beautiful, because I always put this context around the verse that I love so much. The whole context is I am unbelievably precious. I am known by God. He is aware of every secret thought, inconsistency, good thought, evil thought, whatever it might be. He's fully aware of who I am, how I think, what I value, and everything else. And he is ministering to me, interceding for me, calling me by name, bringing into my life hope and purpose and meaning and joy, no matter where I've come from, no matter what my family of origin is, no matter what my circumstances are, no matter what color, whatever other words you want to come up with are, God has known me by name, and he has called me into the kingdom. And so you and I keep reading this and says, now you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for the brothers. That's filial love, the brotherhood love. It's real. Without fakiness, that's what sincere love is. If you're faking it, stop it. Just stop it. Sometimes it's because we can see right through it anyway. It's kind of like, oh, I'll smile and talk to you, but most of the time I got my back to you. We all pick that stuff up. We're not idiots. So this says, with sincere, nothing fake, love of the brothers, and then agape one another deeply from the heart. Well, the reason I have to agape you is you're like me. I have to agape you because if I wasn't agaped by God, I would have none of my sins forgiven. And if God can forgive me my multitude of marks in my heart, why is it I can't figure out using the power of the Holy Spirit to forgive those around me? And so you begin to recognize, here's Peter walking down a path of unbelievable insight, looking at the impetuousness of his own life, remembering everything he was as a young man, understanding now the Holy Spirit is delivering truth in the power of what he's writing down and sharing with the world. And in that moment, it says this, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. And Peter looks at himself in the mirror and he says, how can you use a man like me, Lord? How can you use an impetuous, big mouth, think he's better than everybody else, always wanting to, and all, just the list goes on and on and on if you study Peter. The answer comes back, because I have loved you before time began, Peter. And he demonstrates it. I forgive you, feed my sheep. I forgive you, feed my sheep. You understand? So this comes now into your life and it says, if you're Peter this morning, you are deniers. You are individuals who get out ahead of your own thoughts. You have done wicked things against your own family. Said things, if we put it on the screen, I'd like to show you a time in the life of and put your family and your marriage up there when you went off on your wife, or your wife manipulated, lied, and deceived you, or when she thought it was okay to act and behave this way, or you thought it was okay to act and behave this way, or the secret thing you thought you did when no one was watching. We have that on camera right now. We'd like to show you your life at 17, 14, 12. And I go, it doesn't matter what's on that screen, because the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me from all of my sin. And I am like Peter. I have accumulated more marks against me than I can fill up a heart until I made the heart so big it'd be bigger than the world. And in the middle of it, God whispers, all flesh is like grass, and all your best deeds are the flower of the grass. Nobody hardly knows I was on swim team. Nobody particularly cares that my name is found in the Hall of Fame out of Concordia College. All flesh is grass, and all its glories are like the flower of the grass. And I can't swim at all like I used to anymore. And you begin to understand, this is not bad news. It's balanced. It goes, and yet here's the balance. My God knew me before he ever created the world. My God understood me, and everything I would do of worthiness or unworthiness from the beginning of time, and here's the miracle. Not one moment of my life is lost to God. Not one moment. You so much as give someone a drink of water, a little one, I will count that as a work of goodness that you have done for me, as though you have done it for me. The world will not remember you. That's just the truth. Even if you're as famous as Hitler. So you begin to understand, my God will forget none of my life. My God will remember all things and speak tenderly to me and explain to me and encourage me and bless me. I have loved you, Bruce, before time began, and I love you now. Live in that love and act and work out your life in that love. You're washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. Live in the power of that knowledge in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, stir in us a deep understanding of that and set us free, Lord. Set us free from the justifications, the rationalizations, the excuses that we sometimes make. When I fall apart, Lord, help me to fall apart with sincerity. When I'm standing strong, help my strength to be real. Don't ask me to be something that I'm not, Lord, but make me into the man I'm supposed to be, with the forgiveness of heart that I'm supposed to have, with a balance of wisdom and understanding I can only have when your Spirit runs my life and circumstances. Come and bless us today. Pour out a Holy Spirit into each of our lives that teaches the littlest one that their sin is forgiven only as you pay the price for them, and that they will be welcomed to heaven, not because of the good things they've done, but because they have lived in a trusting relationship with you. So come and bless us all today. We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen. As we